because I've got something even more important to do right now. That's have a conversation with a Bleacher Report NFL national lead writer. He's also an author of numerous books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask and Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler. We are joined by the legend himself, Mike Freeman. Mike, good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Jim, I'm sorry. I'm putting my burner phone away real quick for a call I got to make later.
It's a very good move. What do you make of a guy, Mike? Seriously. Hey, Mike, what's up? How you doing?
Good.
What's popping, Twitter? What do you make of a guy like that making phone calls?
I know I'm an NFL guy, Jim, but that is one of the craziest stories I have ever heard. How are you calling, making those calls from your office phone? It's your office phone. You're like, somebody's going to look at those records. That's crazy.
And Mike, it's got nothing to do.
It has nothing
to do with you being an NFL guy. You are just a guy, period. Hey, look, I don't condone it. Let's be very clear about this. I do not condone this guy, especially a man of faith, as he is purported to be, calling hookers. I'm not condoning that on any level. But to do it from a university-issued telephone, is anybody that stupid?
Apparently he is. And I got to say, too, just from reading up on him, how he was always sort of flaunting that Christian part of him. And my goodness, while he was telling people this stuff, he was on the phone calling whoever.
Hookers.
So this, I mean, and you know how I feel about college football, like college sports, but the NCAA is garbage and the coaches are full of crap. At least in the NFL, they're up front about their debauchery.
Mm.
In college, those guys, like, they act like, these coaches act like they're these institutions of great moral standing, and they're horrible. Sorry, Jim, I'm going off on a tangent, but they're horrible. The NFL, at least, they know what they are. Like, they know they're greedy. They know there's some dudes that are just should not be in the NFL. The coaches know they're in it for the cash. Like, they're upfront about what they do.
Now, if you're a scumbag, be honest about it.
Phony.
If you're a scumbag, be a scumbag and let everybody know and be transparent.
Exactly.
Mike Freeman joining us. All right, Mike, I know that said, it's also not necessarily on your beat, but what was your reaction to the sideshow that was the O.J. Simpson parole board hearing yesterday?
I thought one of the best parts of when the O.J. said, what was the phrase he used, Jim, where he was talking about how he hadn't really been involved in any really horrible things for a while.
He has basically a conflict-free life. Is that the one you're reaching for?
Conflict-free life.
Conflict. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not I'm not exactly sure what the literal definition of conflict is, but I would say what he did would meet it. And it was like, I don't know how you felt, Jim. It was like going back in time watching that, right? Like, you and I both lived that trial. For people who don't know, like, that was one of the more intense moments in really recent television history, watching that whole thing. It was riveting. And seeing that was the parole hearing sort of brought you back. And that was a rough time in American history. There was a lot of racial divide, and O.J. sort of took advantage of that. And now here we are, and he's living what was the phrase again, Jim?
Basically a conflict-free life.
A conflict-free life, yes. So
right,
that was my reaction. When that was said, I almost threw something at my television. I mean, I guess he served his time, and he's going to, you know, everyone deserves a. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, right.
I can't even
he's basically living a conflict-free life, and Hugh basically misdialed that hooker. Misdialed that hooker, all right? So
exactly.
Let us shift
over.
You know,
when I misdial people, it's usually like the pizza delivery place.
This is what I said earlier. What is that? I mean, and nobody ever misdials a plumber or a baker or the pizza place, but he just so happened to misdial a hooker. I mean, what are the chances? What an unlucky dude. All right, shifting over. Mike Freeman joins us. Shifting over to Ezekiel Elliott. What do you make of the report, Mike, that the alleged victim and the witnesses in that Sunday night incident suddenly are not cooperating with the Dallas police?
Jim, are we shocked by this?
No, we're not.
I mean, it was the minute I saw that, I thought that was definitely going to be the case. And people are going to start disappearing. And the overall thing with that is you really, if you're Ezekiel Elliott, he doesn't seem to get or at least care. It's a whole new ball game when you leave. No matter, even if you play in a really great, highly visible program like Ohio State, when you go to the NFL, it's 1,000 times worse in terms of the how many people are watching you, the repercussions of the things you do. Little things are sort of blown up, and it sounds like in the bar, like he was defending someone, but it doesn't matter. He's shown a pattern for not really caring about the repercussions or understanding what will happen when you do something. In the NFL, they are watching. Everyone's watching. The team's watching. Your teammates are watching. There's always some guy out there in a bar who says, I'm going to go punch Ezekiel in the face because I'm badder than he is. And it was one of the things that I was covering the NFL for so long, and one of the things Michael Strahan, Hall of Famer, always told me that. He was always cautious about when he went out because somebody was always trying to make a name for themselves using him. And Elliott's got to understand that. And I know for a fact, I mean, this is not like crazy breaking news, but teammates have told him, try to really caution him about going out. And when the NFL's watching you the way the NFL's watching him right now and reviewing cases right now with him, just stay home, watch a movie, watch Star Trek like Jim does every night, like me. Dude, just chill.
I mean, keep my name out of your mouth, Mike. I've never seen Star Trek. You know I would never do that. And you keep Star Trek and my name both out of your mouth. You know I would never do that, Mike. You know for a fact I would never do that.
Saying, like, just,
yeah, I did until you said that.
There's nothing wrong every now and then, especially when you're under the microscope right now, to just kind of chill. I'm not saying a 20-something-year-old can't go out. Of course you can go out, but chill a little bit at certain times.
You know what I'm saying, Mike, I'm saying, Mike Freeman joining us, I'm saying it's not the best idea. I'm not saying you can't go out. I'm saying it's not the best idea. And why? For two reasons. The one that you made about Mike Strahan and the point that he made, that every bar has one. Every single bar has one. 99% of the people out there might be happy to see you and might want to have a good time, but all it takes is one, and every single bar has one. And then the flip side of that, every single person in the world right now is a TMZ reporter with that phone that they can roll video with. So, yeah, you know what? It's not a great idea to go to a bar.
Your second point you made was a really good one about how everyone has their little phone and watching you and recording you. That's a great point.
All my points are great points, Mike. You know that. You and I have done this for a long time.
Your Star Trek one was not great.
No, that was the best point I've made in quite some time, actually. All right, so we the problem with this guy is he just doesn't get it. Hopefully he figures it out sooner than later. And to your other point, which is a very good point, his own teammates are pulling him aside and saying, come on, man, you have to understand what's at stake here. This is not Columbus. Now, let me move on to something quickly, Mike, before you go. Over the weekend, Johnny Manziel said that he was preparing for an NFL comeback. He told the Dallas Morning News that he had, quote, a couple of conversations with some teams, end quote. I know you've been tracking this. How accurate is that? For instance, were teams calling his people or were his people calling teams?
His people were calling teams, mostly. I mean, I think there are GMs and coaches and scouts who see themselves in Johnny Manziel, like not all that athletic and just see themselves in him. And they think what, and you know from being around sports Jim a long time, there's a lot of guys who say I can fix him, and there's a lot of guys thinking that maybe we can get that guy that was in college that was so spectacular. The problem is the guy that was in college was in college, and the guy that was in the pros was lazy, non-athletic, slow, weak arm, didn't study, didn't have the respect of his teammates, didn't take the game seriously, and was a bum. Other than that, he was very good. So He's not the guy in college anymore. He's moved up to a level where everyone is faster, everyone is smarter, everyone works harder, and he never adapted. So that's the problem. And if Johnny Manziel, Jim, gets signed before Colin Kaepernick, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it, and then I'm going to make you watch Star Trek all the time.
Yeah, well,
not happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Don't worry about that. But to your point about Colin Kaepernick, Robert Griffin III something you reported. Several teams have told you that RG3 is starting to draw mild interest. There's a debate as to whether or not Johnny Manziel is drawing interest. There is no debate. Dan Orlovsky was just signed by the Rams. So what kind of interest is there in Colin Kaepernick right now?
It's with Kaepernick, Jim, it's just there's nothing going on.
So I mean, how do you explain that?
It's I think when I first started writing a lot about Kaepernick, you and I have talked about this a couple times on your show. I was not that I was on an island, but I didn't have a whole lot of company when I was saying very early on that he was probably not going to play in the NFL again, and he was not going to play because of his protest. That was the core of it. And teams denied it. You saw some other writers were like, no, he'll get signed. But here we are. And Dan Orlovsky, whose claim to fame is running out of bounds in the end zone, just got signed before a guy who played in the Super Bowl and is still very talented. So we have proved to me, I don't know how you feel, we have proven why he's not in the NFL. When you're signing Dan Orlovsky before him and all these other guys, a bunch of stiffs, before him, the NFL has made all the statement it needs.
Mike, what is the statement, and exactly what is that? I mean, how much is that about owners that have a personal issue with him over what he did? How much of that is about an owner that doesn't want to deal with the backlash of the fans? How the hell is this even possible? How is it possible that this guy is not getting any interest when guys like the guys you mentioned are?
It's all about, Jim, his stand and owners. Some of the owners on a core level, on a DNA level, really disagree with what he did. Some of the owners are afraid of the backlash. It's a combination of that and a few other things. I think if it was just up to some coaches, he would have been signed by now. But ownership, some people in the executive firm, remember, as much as we love the league and love football, Jim, it has an element of extremism in it. There are owners that just don't like players having opinions, political opinions, strong opinions. They want you to just play ball and shut up. So that's the main thing here. And he did something that some owners, I don't agree with this, but this is what some owners think, and some people in the league think that he was unpatriotic, that he was disrespecting the military. And he's not. Neither of those things are true. So that's where we are. And is there a chance that someone says, screw this, he's too good, I'm going to give it a shot? There's always that chance, but it's like 1%.
Like who, just, Mike? Who do you think
I think
is
he's
the
gone.
Mike, who is
and
the
I think
franchise?
He knew he was gone when he did it, Joe.
Right, right. So, Mike, if you had to guess, if there's a 1% chance, if there's one team, who do you think would be the one franchise or the one owner or the one coach that would take that shot?
I thought for sure it would be Seattle. And then maybe a team like Oakland. So, but I don't, you know, I can't think of anyone else that where he would fit in. Like the Seattle locker room loves Kaepernick, loves him. And so in the Raiders too, there are organizations that where the players and the organization is a little more tolerant of that type of thing, off the field stuff. But the problem is, it's just too late now. Now, if there's a rash of injuries, maybe a couple teams really get seriously interested. But I mean, they just signed Dan Orlovsky.
That's the end of your conversation.
That's
where the conversation stops. That's where the conversation stops. They signed Dan Orlovsky. You know, that's when you drop the mic and you walk off. That's when the conversation ends. He is an NFL national lead writer for Bleacher Report. He is the author of numerous books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask, Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler, and the unofficial national Star Trek honk for the ages. How you like that, Mike? Feel better
now? Oh, my God.
You hear that, Mike? How does that make you feel?
I love it. This is better than butt dialing escorts.
Everything's better than butt-dialing escorts, Mike.